We've been talking about managing our emotions and how they affect us, okay, and what they have to do with our lives. The thing is the more stubborn and hard-headed that we want to be, the longer it's going to take us to break through the strongholds in our life. Because they hold you in bondage, and as long as you're being hard-headed and stubborn, they're going to keep you in bondage. It's when you actually decide to let go and let God, that things start to change and that you actually see the things happen that you want to happen. So, you know, you're only holding yourself in bondage by being stubborn and hard-headed. But granted, some of us have to go around that mountain many times before we understand that we're only hurting ourselves. The important thing to remember is that no matter how long it takes, we never should give up. Never should give up. Never quit. Just keep right on at it until you finally make it. Because if you keep plugging away, you will get there. Like the tortoise and the hare, you know, the tortoise took a long time getting there, but he beat because he never gave up, never took any sidetracks or anything else. He just kept steadily plugging along. And he got there. You know, and a lot of times in our Christian walk, we have to keep pressing on. Our emotions will tell us no. Our emotions will tell us, why are you doing this? Why don't you just go out and enjoy yourself? Have a good time. Don't worry about tomorrow. You're not happy doing what you're doing. Look at the mess you're in. Look at the problems you're having. But you know something? The first thing that happens when you decide to live for Christ is that problems arise in your life to discourage you. That should be a sign that you're doing the right thing, not a sign to give up and to go away. Okay? So when problems arise, just say, thank you. You let me know I'm on the right path, okay? Because if we weren't having any troubles, then we would be following our emotions and just feeling good about everything because we were riding on our emotions. The reason that we're having trouble is because we're not letting our emotions run us anymore. So, you know, we need to press on. The main thing that God asks or requires us to do is to bring about the answer to our problems, is to believe and to keep pressing on. Do you know how hard that is? When Gabriel was gone for 3 months, it was very hard to keep pressing on, to keep believing. Lots of times got angry, got in my emotions about it. Spat and vented at God about it. Asked him what his problem was. If he did everything in just the right time, every time, why wasn't he home now? And stuff. And I went through my emotions about it. But the bottom line is, it wasn't all about what I was doing. It was about what Satan was doing. It was about what other players in this game were doing. And who had the most power pulling. And who was getting the most hurdles run. Okay, if I hadn't kept pressing on, hadn't kept believing, it could have been a year. It could have been worse. Now, you know, so it happened for 3 months, and people say, well, why did God let that happen? God didn't let that happen. People in this world caused that to happen. And God couldn't do anything about it because they weren't in his will. And he can't force you to do something that's against your will. So, you know, when you don't give in to God, you give in to somebody else. You give in to Satan. And when you give in to Satan, then he has control of your emotions. And he causes you to do things that aren't even necessarily in your character normally. But because you've given yourself over to him, he now can have you do things that you really don't want to do. Go places you really don't want to go. Pay more than you really want to pay. But that is the price of sin. And that is the price of not following God. The thing is, he makes it all look really good in the front. When Satan calls you, he calls you and tells you, hey, we're going to go have a good time. You're going to have everything you want. You're going to feel good. When God calls you, he says, hey, you're going to have to get in that word. You're going to have to break it open. You're going to have to study it. You're going to have to learn what's in there because you're going to need what's in there to survive. Now, which would you choose if you're going with your emotions? Okay? Are you going to go feel good, or are you going to go become a student and study, 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 so you can learn this stuff, so you can survive this fight that you're getting ready to fight? What would you rather do? Seriously. If you go with your emotions every time, you're going to go for the good time. Okay? Every time. There's very few people in this universe that will say, I want to go study. I want to go bury myself in a book. I want to isolate myself from everybody else. Does it sound like anyone you know? Does it sound like anyone I know? And I'm a reader. I like to read. But I'm not into that to that extent. You know what I'm saying? But this is what God tells us to do. He says we're supposed to study to show ourselves fruit. We're supposed to study so we can know his word, so we can stand when Satan comes at us. And that our emotions don't get in the way. Because when our emotions get in our way, we're going to take the easy way out every time. Okay? Just because we have a knot in our lives does not mean that we're not able to untie it ourselves. You know, we were talking about the chains and stuff and how you get tried to untangle them and they just get in a worse mess than when you started. You know, some knots are harder than others to untie. The problem with us is we have very little patience and we're in such a hurry to get the thing untangled that we make a mess out of it. Where if we patiently took our time and looked to see where each strand was going and carefully pulled those strands apart and stuff, we would simply untie the knot. But in our haste, remember, what is haste? That's the enemy. God doesn't do anything in a hurry. So if you're doing things in a haste, you have to get it done, have to get it now, something's wrong. That's a red flag saying stop your emotions. Check your emotions. Because if you're in a hurry, something's wrong. You know, it's like the child that's going to hurry up and do what's wrong before he can get stopped just so he can say he did it. Right? Have you ever seen that? The little two-year-olds are great for that. I know I ain't supposed to pull this plug out of the wall, but I'm going to do it. Look, they're coming for me to stop me, but I'm going to yank it real quick before they get here. And that's what we do in our spiritual walk. We think we can slip it in and nobody's going to see it. We think we can do it and no one's going to be any the wiser about it because they'll just come back later and see it's still in the wall. They don't know we pulled it in and out. Right? And that's what Christians do when they take these little side trips. Okay? They're watching to see who's watching them, but they're also got their hand behind them trying to play with what they're trying to play with, make sure nobody sees them doing it. So, you know, in fact, if we're not careful, you know, in trying to untie our knots in haste, we make a bigger mess out of things. Have you ever tried to just do something and it frustrates you so bad that you just can't do it no more? Okay, that's your walk with Christ. Think of it that way. That knot you can't untangle, that's your walk with Christ. You keep trying to go forward, you keep trying to go forward, you keep trying to go forward. It seems like every time you take a step forward, you're knocked back to, and, you know, just what good is it? You get frustrated and you want to give up and throw that chain back in that drawer because, after all, it's just too much work. It's just too hard. Can't figure it out. And, you know, and you have to understand that it's your emotions that get you to that point. And you just have to tell yourself, look, if you just take your time, if you just stop and listen, if you just stop and let God tell me where he wants me to go, which strand to pull, which move to make, what person to talk to, which program to turn on, what book to pick up, then I can get my answer and I can get uplifted and I can go on for a little longer until something else trips me. Okay, get something else. Will come along to trip you up. And Satan is hoping that you will not have your guard up and that he can play with your emotions before you can catch him at it. Because that's what he does. And, you know, and it's not because you're a Christian that you're untouchable. You know, we cover ourselves with the blood of Christ, and that's all good and fine, and that works and stuff or something. But, you know, there's times where Satan goes before our Father and says, hey, you think they're really going to serve you if I throw everything at them I got? God's going to look down and say, yeah, I think they can do it. He's going to say, you're willing to let me give it a shot? We're just going to have to know and trust that God will take us through anything that Satan has to throw at us. And you're going to think, oh God, what did I do wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. You were just a good child. Satan wanted to foul you up. He wanted to trip you up so you couldn't do the works God had for you to do. So when things seem to go all wrong, then we're doing something right. You know, when things get too easy, we need to be checking things out. Now, granted, there are times of rest that God gives us in between these battles. So, as always, listen for God. Remember, we're not in a hurry. We have time. Ask God. Wait on Him. See what He would have you to do. See how He would like you to handle it. You know, once you learn to let the Lord handle the problems and you just cooperate with Him, things begin to work out a lot better. Because He sees the whole picture. I can tug and tug and tug and tug at this part here, but what I'm not seeing is that there's something over here that's hanging it up. And no matter how much I tug, it's not going to break free. But God can see that thing jamming me up that's not letting me break that thing free. So quit fighting it. Stop and ask God. God, what would you have me do? And He's going to say, reach down and pull that plug out. So you can move that thing. And that's how you're going to get through it. But you have to learn to start asking God. Learn to trust Him. That's it. And if you want to make Him laugh, just tell Him your plans. Okay? Because He thinks we're hilarious. You know, He does. He thinks we're hilarious. People, the problems that people manifest, there are people out there who are severely damaged people. Emotionally, okay? Most people at one time or another have or will have been part of that group. You know, we all like to think that we're all even keel, we're stable. We got it all together. Some point or another, we've been that crushed person. We've been that shattered person. We've been that person who's been abused, rejected, hurt, not shown any love in our years growing up. Whatever the case is, we've all experienced at some point or another that point of being emotionally shattered or damaged. Could have been your first love that went sour. Doesn't matter what it is. We've all been there at some point or another. First failed marriage. Yeah, your first game that you tried and lost miserably at. Matter of fact, you lost the game instead of won the game. Yeah, I mean, you were the cause that the game was lost. You know what I'm saying? These types of things do things to us and can damage us emotionally if we're not prepared to handle them. So most people at one time or another have been part of that group. So let's take a look at some of the problems that arise from that. First of all, you have some people who experience feelings of unworthiness. They have shame-based self-hatred, a sense of self-rejection, an inner voice that tells them they're no good and that something's wrong with them. Okay. At one point or another, I think that I was there. Okay? I think I can say that I have felt those things. I think I can say that I had unworthiness, thoughts of unworthiness, that I just wasn't good for anything. You know, self-hatred based on, I must be so bad. Why can't people see me for me? Type feelings. You know? And the inner voice that was telling me, you're just no good. It doesn't matter how good you try to be. You're never going to be good enough. And anyone who is trying to be loved or accepted by other people has felt these things at one point or another. Because of hurt and rejections that are thrown at us by the people around us that we seek these things from. So, you have to understand that, yeah, it's strange that when we're born again, the first thing the Lord wants us to give is His righteousness through His blood so that we can stop asking, what's wrong with me? Because when He gives us righteousness through His blood, it takes away all of our sin. It takes away all that guilt. It takes away all that fault and blame, all those things that cause you to feel unworthy, to to cause you to feel rejected, to cause you to feel the hurt. And when he takes all that away, you don't worry about what's wrong with me anymore, because you start confessing what's right with us now that we're in Christ. Because I now know that I am worthy. I now know that I am a child of the King. Okay? I now know that I'm somebody of value to someone that's worthwhile to me. So, you know, these are one group of people. Now, another thing that comes out of damaged emotions are people who are perfectionists. They're always trying to prove their worth and gain love and acceptance through their performance. They always have to be the best. They always have to do the extra mile. They always have to show that they're better than everyone else. If you do it, they'll go behind you and have to tweak it and make it just right. Okay? And no, I'm not a perfectionist, even though I do that. Okay? But I'm about as far from perfectionist as they come. But, you know, these are things that perfectionists do. You know, everything just has to be a certain way. It's almost to the point of a rigid control thing. Okay? I'm a little more lax. Yeah, I'm not rigid. I'm a little more lax. I like things to be just so, but I'm not so much that I ain't into giving some. You know, so some people struggle to do a little better in the hope that someone will love them and accept them more. You know, you see that in families a lot where you have mixed children, you know, father, boys and girls, and the fathers just dote on the boys and the daughters want their father's love too, but they don't need to acknowledge them because after all, they're just a girl and all they're interested in is their boy, their little man. You know? And you see that in that situation a lot because it's what's wrong with me? I'm your child too. You know what I'm saying? I want your love too. I want your attention too. You know, and they sit from afar and watch them show all this affection to the son, and it's like, and what am I? You know, you start feeling that rejection. You start feeling that hurt. And you just keep trying and trying and trying to be the best you can be to show them, hey, look at me. See what I can do? I'm somebody. And people do that. And it's not just in that kind of situation. It's in a lot of different situations. But we get that way because we're fighting so hard to get someone to notice us, to accept us for who we are, for what we want them to see us as a person, to recognize that we have feelings, to share with us the things that they share with everyone else around. So, you know, that's, you know, another thing that comes out of damaged emotions. Now, another thing that comes out of damaged emotions is supersensitiveness. Okay? Do you recall the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, he says, love is not touchy. Okay? Supersensitive people are touchy people. They can get offended very quickly. You know, are you touchy? Think about it. Do things have to be just your way? If someone doesn't say hello to you, do you get offended? Seriously. Do you think that people aren't giving you the acknowledgement you deserve? These are super, super sensitive people. The thing is it's hard for people to face the fact that that's the case with them. Because after all, super sensitive. Okay? Makes it very hard to say, I got a problem. Because after all, I'm trying to prove I don't have a problem. There's nothing wrong with me. It's you. It is. That's what happens with super sensitive people. You know, part of the answer is for them to face the fact that if they're that touchy about things, the problem is not with those who you feel constantly offend you, but it's you. Something about you. And, you know, they're not really hurting your feelings and they really don't know how to interact with you because no matter what they do to try to make you feel accepted and loved, you're pushing them away again. Okay, so when you're super sensitive, you have to understand that first of all, you have to acknowledge that you are, and then you have to give it over to God. And you have to, you know, you have to become secure in the fact that you know that he can heal you from being touchy like that. It's been shown in studies that 95% of the time when people hurt your feelings, they didn't intend to do so. That means if you get your feelings hurt really easy, it's because you choose to. Once again, let me say one word, emotions. The good news is that you can also choose not to. You know, there's been lots of times in my life that people have said things in my presence, either directed to me or just in general being said around me or whatever the case may be. And I could easily have taken offense. Or I could step back and say, okay, Lord, what's going on here? And let him show me why they're acting the way they're acting. And 9 times out of 10, I keep my mouth shut and I just let them go on and I don't say a word. So, you know, I have to really encourage you to lay aside supersensitivity if that's your problem. If you think that because people say that, oh, no, why don't we do this instead of that or whatever, and Nick's your, you know, what your idea, what you're going to do, don't be super sensitive to things like that. Because, you know, we're all in this thing together, and we're all working together to make it the best that we can. And ideas that I have might be different than ideas that you have, but that doesn't mean that mine are bad and yours are good or yours are good or mine are bad. Whatever the case may be, it just means that we have different kinds of ideas. And with us intermixing our ideas, we come up with good things. Where if we just took your idea, that might be okay. But man, with everybody else working with it and embellishing on it, we can come up with something really great instead of just something good. But you can't be so sensitive to it that you are saying, no, it's mine. You can't change it. You know, because things change all the time. And God asks you to be flexible at all times. And sometimes we need to change from the way we're seeing it because we're not seeing it from the perspective that we need to be. And so God will send other people in our path that will steer us in the direction he wants us to go because we're not listening. And if we become offended, then we're still not listening to God. You know, it's like the jokes that they tell about the guy sitting on his roof in the flood and God keeps sending people by to rescue the guy and he keeps saying, no, my God will deliver me. And finally he's drowning on his rooftop and he's going, God, where are you? And he goes, well, I've sent this guy and I sent that guy. So how many times do you expect me to send you out a rope? When are you ever going to grab hold? You know, and God does the same thing with us. And we do the same thing because it's not the answer that we want. It's not the way that we want to do it. So we push it, oh, that's not God. Well, you better stop. Just rethink that. Maybe it is God. May not be what you wanted, but it may be God. So, you know, if we're getting our feelings hurt real easily, it's because we're choosing to. And we do have that right to choose not to. Someone can yell and scream at you and have a really bad day with you, and you can just say, it's a shame they're feeling that bad, but you know something, I feel really good, and I'm not letting that spoil my day for nothing. We get to choose that. Or after they walk away, we can be all, and make everyone else around us that way. We get to choose that. We have a free will. We get to choose how we're going to act. We get to choose how our emotions are going to run us. And if I say, I'm not going down that path today, I'm happy and I'm staying happy, then I'm going to stay happy because I chose to have good emotions. I didn't want those sour emotions. You take them sour emotions right away from me with you. Yeah, okay, you vented fine. Well, you just take your garbage right on with you now. Okay. If you feel better, I'll pray for you. But I'm going to have a good day because I get to choose to. Too many times we let other people choose for us. Because they dump their garbage on us and we just open up, take it in, and there we sit with all their garbage. And guess what happens? Your emotions engage. And guess what happens then? They're running you. Because you chose not to take and say, nope, not doing that. Not going there, not going to partake in it. Kids out on the street, someone offers a cigarette. You don't have to take that cigarette. You can say no. It's the same thing. Someone tries to feed you a dirty attitude, you can say no. Sorry, I'm not going there. I don't want to talk about that. Go off about your way and, you know, have your own kind of conversations that you want to have. My son sometimes plays with the radio. He gets something on there. It makes my spirit go, meh. I'm going, that's got to go. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. Get that off my radio. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not going to subject myself to it. If we get to a point where we lay aside supersensitivity, then we're going to feel so much better about ourselves and others. Because part of the problem that you have the supersensitivity is because you aren't happy with yourself. And therefore, you're going to see fault everywhere you look. And you're going to feel offense everywhere you look. And it's because you ain't happy with you. And when people are miserable, guess what they like to do? They like to make everyone around them miserable. Because misery likes company. And don't be their company. They want to be miserable, tell them, oh, I'm sorry you're having a bad day. You just go be miserable all by yourself. I'm sorry. I don't want misery today. Not my choice. So, you know, we have to stop and think about it. How does it affect you if people don't notice you the way you think they should? If people don't acknowledge you the way they think they should? If you have those issues, just place it in God's hands. He can help you get over it. It doesn't have to be an issue. We need to learn to put ourselves in God's hands and let Him work things out for the best. And we need to trust Him to get us what He wants us to have. In other words, don't look to other people to meet your needs, to bring you happiness, but rather to look to the Lord and let Him fulfill our needs, for He knows what's best for us. You know, a lot of times we ask God for things, He don't give them to us because that is not what we need. If we had that, boy, would we go down the wrong way. And He knows that. And so we might pout, stomp our feet a little bit and everything, but we'll get over it eventually, and we'll find something so much better because we did. But if we dig in our heels and we insist that we're going to have our way in it, He'll let us. You know, like you said, the people wanted a king. I gave them a king. Can't go against our will, you know. So if we want to dig in our heels, He'll let us. And then after we're done messing up our lives more, making that knot a bigger tangle, then He'll reach down again and see if we're ready for help. Have you ever sat and tried to help a little kid who's getting, you know, kind of independent? They don't want your help, and they're pushing you away, and stuff with you. That's how we act. No, I don't want you to do it. I want to do it all by myself. Well, go ahead. See how far you get. Let's see how long that lasts. It's going to fall off, you know, because you didn't tie it. You know, whatever the case is. You know what I'm saying? But they get that way where they want to do it all themselves. And, you know, we're no different. We are just the same as children because we get bigger, but we still do the same dumb stuff, just in different situations. Because now we're in adult situations, so we do different dumb things, but it's for the same reasons, because we let our emotions control us. It is. It's because we let our emotions control us. This morning, my son was sleeping all the way up north, and he woke up right before we got there, and he wanted to be all grumpy and stuff. And I said, you know something? For someone with so many issues and problems of their own, I would think you'd be more tolerant of other people's. And he went, what? Like, what are you saying? I said, well, after all, you know, you have your own issues, and you get grouchy and want to chop everyone's head off and everything at the drop of a hat. You know, for someone like you, you ought to be able to understand that other people have issues too, and just because I do a stupid thing at 5 o'clock in the morning doesn't mean that I'm an idiot. Okay, I'm just not awake yet. And I almost missed my turn. So what? Don't blow a hubcap over it. Hey, you know, come on. It's no big deal. So you're acting like a spoiled little brat. And all I did was make, I didn't miss it. But do you know what I'm saying? And that's kind of what supersensitivity makes you like. Every little thing is a big thing. Every little thing. Leaving that toilet seat up is a big thing. You did it just to spite me. Oh, they just forgot. You know? Sorry, they just forgot. People are forgetful. So it's interesting to note, though, that people who are super sensitive about what others do to them are usually totally insensitive to what they do to others. So they really want you to pay attention to what you're doing to them, saying to them, how you say it, how you do it. But yet they have no problem telling you the way it is at drop of a hat, regardless of who they're around, where you are, how embarrassing it is, or anything else, because they could care less. Interesting, isn't it? You know anyone like that? Many times people are super sensitive because they've been hurt in their past. And so their emotions are easily pained. They're insecure, and therefore they're touchy about things. When people have been denied love and affection much of their life, they tend to suffocate anyone who shows them even the slightest little bit of affection or fondness. Because that's what they've been looking for. And they just want to make sure that it doesn't go away. So they want to do everything they can just to please that person. Because after all, they showed me some kind of affection. And they suffocate the person that's trying to be kind to them. Think about it. Why do we really care what other people think about us? It doesn't matter. The reason for the most part is because we have a poor self-image. And because we have a poor self-image, we think that we're unworthy. I got to tell you, I don't become any less valuable in the eyes of God because of what you think of me. I got to tell you that. I don't care how much you don't like me, how bad you think I am, how much you think I do wrong. It does not matter because that does not change God's opinion. Doesn't. You know, a lot of people, if they could just grab hold of that truth in itself, would be so much better off. We feel less valuable because we're not secure in who we are in Christ. But if we read our word, and if we know who we are in Christ, then we would feel secure in Him, and guess what? We wouldn't feel inadequate anymore. Okay? We wouldn't care what other people thought of us anymore. Because the only one that truly matters is Christ. What does He think of me? After all, He was the one that died for me. What does He think of me? What does God think after He sent His Son to die for me? What does He think of me? Those are the two that I am concerned about. The rest of you, I'm sorry, I don't care about your opinions. So you can think anything you want. I don't care. I'm not here for you. I'm not here to be liked by you. I'm here to do what God's called me to do, and I hope that I can be liked in the process, but if not, so be it. You know, sometimes that's a turn off for people too. When people come against them, they want to stop doing God's work because they don't like being come against. Well, I'm sorry, get over yourself. It's not about you. It's about God and what God wants to do. And we need to be willing to let that happen. We're terribly out of time. But think about it this week. All of us have been in a place of emotional damage somewhere along the way. How has it affected you? Are those emotions, those past pains and hurts, still causing you to react in ways today that you need to put behind? If they are, you need to lay them at the cross and don't pick them back up. Trust God to take care of those things and to show you how to get past them and over them because He can and He will if you trust Him and believe that He will do it. We all go through these things, but each and every one of us deal with them differently. So God can't do the same thing with each and every one of you. So don't expect Him to do the same thing for you that He did for someone else because their hurts are different than yours. They're Their damage is different than yours. So turn it over to God and listen for God and let Him lead you and direct you in the healing process. Because He's the only one that knows the right way to do it. I don't. You don't. He does. Amen. Grace, can you close us in prayer this morning?